This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. President Trump's Twitter feed is many things. It's distracting. It's self-aggrandizing. It is unpredictable. And it can have economic consequences. Not so much anymore. Corporate America has learned not to fear the tweets. But on the 15th of December last year, early in the morning, the then president-elect tweeted this, quote, "Has anyone looked at the really poor numbers of Vanity Fair magazine? Way down, Big Trouble, dead. Graydon Carter, no talent, will be out." I bring that up because Graydon Carter, the editor of Vanity Fair magazine, is in fact out, although not because of anything the president has said. Carter has a wall full of Trump tweets printed and hung outside his office on the 41st floor of One World Trade Center in New York, which is where I was earlier this week talking about his decision to retire after 25 years at this magazine at the end of the year.
Before we sit down, I want to get you outside, and I want to ask you about a tweet on the wall.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, I'm right, that this is the tweet that hooked you guys up in December of 2016? Has anyone looked at the really poor numbers?
No.
Is that not the one?
No, there's more. I mean,
well, there's tons of them, but isn't that the one that got you guys all the subscriptions right after the election?
Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Way down, yeah. Big Trouble, dead. Graydon Carter, no talent, we'll be out.
Yeah.
Long before he was sparring with the president of the United States, though, a regular target in Carter's letter from the editor in the magazine every month, he was a guy up for a job, meeting with Condé Nast owner Cy Newhouse.
You said once that any editor is a big gamble. So what I want to know is, why in 1992 did Cy Newhouse gamble on you for this magazine?
He had, I think he'd been an admirer of Spy magazine, and I'd been the editor of the New York Observer between Spy and here, and after about 6 months and the paper was going the way I wanted it to, I started sending it out to friends, other editors, on a sort of as a comp list, and Cy makes a twice-yearly trip to see visit his European holdings. And sort of when in this one trip in 1992, everywhere he went, he saw a copy of the New York Observer on people's desks. And he thought, my God, Graydon's got everybody reading this right now. And so he came back and asked me if I'd come over to his apartment and offered me the job. He offered me one of two jobs, the New Yorker, Vanity Fair.
You were, as I read the history, more excited about the New Yorker initially.
Well, we'd been making fun of Vanity Fair for the past 5 years at Spy, so I thought the New Yorker would be an easier fit.
Well, I'm sure you appreciate the irony now of, after all these years of poking celebrities and the establishment in the eye, you're the man.
Well, I'm not the man at all.
You are the establishment.
No, I'm the former man, but anyway.
soon to be former man.
And no, I'd probably be the sort of person that would be writing about at Spy magazine. I realize that.
Was it fun for you initially in this job?
No, it was brutal. And because of 5 years of making fun of some members of the staff and some of the writers, everything came together at the end of the second year. And I always try to tell people, don't confuse politeness with weakness. And I was pretty strong during that period. But I wouldn't even let my children come to the office. It was such a poisonous atmosphere.
That's interesting because you, and granted, I've only had a few personal exchanges with you, but you strike me as a very polite, kind and nice guy.
Canadian.
Well, then there's that. 25 years ago, maybe not so, taking over this job?
No, I was the same person exactly, just probably a little more unsure of myself. And, you know, I had 4 kids at that point, and I had mouths to feed and school to pay for. So I was terrified of losing this job.
You have, as is your job, I suppose, worked hard at the Vanity Fair brand, whether it's the Oscars party, whether it's the pictures on the cover, you know. Look, what is this? The New Establishment Summit, which, full disclosure, I am speaking at. So that's the thing. It's all about the brand, isn't it?
Well, I don't like to use that word, but yes, I guess it is all about the brand. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it didn't start that way. They were all sort of organic outgrowths. You know, I'd gone to Swifty Lazar's last party, and Swifty
in,
died
in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, it's where they watch the Oscars, and then the people come after. And after he died, I thought, well, this would be a good thing for the magazine to do a small version of this. And so we started off really small, and because I prefer to fail in the smaller quarters rather than larger quarters. And it turned out okay, and it sort of grew each year.
Yeah, it turned out okay. It's the party now.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah. We go to a lot. We spend 6 months working on that.
To what degree are you responsible, you, in this job, responsible for the rise of celebrity culture in this country?
That started long before I got here. And I mean, it started with the the birth of People magazine, probably.
Yeah, but it's exploded, right, in the past 25 years?
It has. But, you know, the thing is, the people that we call celebrities, the reality TV stars, that sort of thing, you'll never, ever see their names in Vanity Fair. Ever.
Just on principle.
Yes.
Other than Donald Trump, by the way.
Well, that once he crashed over into the real world, the real, real world, yes.
Talk to me for a second about the magazine industry at large. Not the greatest of times right now as the industry tries to figure out what's happening. What's your sense?
Well, you know, it's been going on since the recession that there's, you know, two forces is the, first of all, the newsstands disappeared. I don't even notice. Yeah. There used to be a newsstand on every major corner in New York, and now most of us wouldn't know where to find a magazine near this building. That happened, and so circulation went down, and at the same time you had a crunch on the advertising market as advertisers discovered the internet. But I think that is a false economy or a false direction for them, because basically nothing sells a product better than a beautiful page in a magazine. It creates demand for that product. The internet helps you buy that product. Huh. They're different functions.
Do you pick the covers?
Of course.
What do I know? I'm a radio guy.
Do you pick the radios that this goes out on?
Okay. Actually not, but that's a whole different thing. You've basically gotten up every day for 25 years and done the same job.
For 9,200 days, yes.
But who's counting?
Yeah, and I really loved every single one of them. I still love this job.
What was the reaction when you said you're leaving then with all these old-timers?
Well, some of them suspected it because I was originally going to leave in April, but after the election I thought, I've got to stick around for the first year of this. This will be my... This is my eighth administration since I've been here.
But you have been engaged with this one as few before, right? And this goes back to the Spy Magazine days and short film.
Before that, it goes back to 1983.
And Donald Trump in New York.
Yes.
Why then are you leaving when you are so engaged with this president and what he is doing?
I'm not leaving. I'm going to come back, but I'm just going to come back in a different form.
You going to keep writing about him?
Yeah, if somebody offers me a job, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can get a writing gig here if you want.
Yeah, maybe I can. I don't know. But I'll keep doing something about him. It's just too perilous. I never used to check my news feed every 15 times a day, just checking to make sure we're not at war with somebody right now.
Are you going to miss it?
I'll miss the people, but we'll stay in touch. And there are aspects of the job, yes, I'll miss. And I'd like to get away and have a life of no deadlines for 6 months, because it's after 9,200 days of deadlines, it'd be nice just to kick around a bit. I don't want to stay around past my sell-by date either. And I don't know what my sell-by date is, but it's probably stamped on me somewhere, and it's coming up.
Graydon Carter, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kai.